Yes, it's the second ground. Why it cannot be a fruit? Yes, it does not, it cannot root, right? It's not rooted, and then why? And then when the trial comes, they fall, right? So in other words, when they're not rooted, not to be able to do what? When they listen to the word of God. Okay. You miss one. You say you want to understand and keep it, you miss the middle one. Accept it, right? Accept it, right? So in other words, actually quite often when we speak to truth seekers, even for you and I, we understand the word of God, but the problem is we cannot accept it. Why our church is the only safe church? Can you accept that? If you don't accept that, then you cannot be rooted in the doctrine, in the Bible. Then sooner or later when someone comes to talk to you, hey, look at other churches, right? They have 60,000 people in that church. Look at TJC. You guys have been here since 1939. It's only 2,500 members. And maybe 1,000, they all, you know, they are dying, they are wounded, right? So maybe the active members, only 1,500, truly active members. And you guys say you're the true church of God. Come on, give me a break. Do you understand? So when people say things like this, you must be rooted in what you believe. If you're not rooted, then what? When someone says something, then we don't believe anymore. Then we cannot bear fruit. Give me one more name, please. Catherine. Oh. The third ground. Why it's not be able to bear fruit? Were you here for the lesson? Okay. Sister, you can help her out. Okay, it fell by the thorns. And because it fell by the thorns, and then what happened? Yes. So it bear fruit, but not to maturity. So why? Because the thorn choked them. So because of this, it means they cannot continue to keep the word of God, right? Why? Because the things of this world, the deceitful riches, and the cares of this world. So quite often, you and I fall in that category. But the last ground, why is it be able to bear fruit? Brother, next name, please. Melissa. Where's Melissa? Oh. Why the be able to bear fruit?
It has good soil.
It has good soil, right? Good ground, okay? Okay, the plant can grow and be nourished. What's that going to do with our hearts? What's that?
It's like an open heart, like a soft, open heart.
Okay. And then with the soft and open heart,
so you can accept the word.
Yes, they be able to, the first thing they need, the first thing they be able to do is what?
Understand.
Yes, understand it, then
accept
it, and keep it. So that's why the last one be able to bear fruit. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Why do we spend so much time on the sower? Because this of the sower has to do with everything for the next six parables. Because when you have the next six parables, then parable, then you can be the scribe. In other words, we can go out and preach the word of God. Because when we be able to have good soil and bear fruit, and then everything that had to do with the next six parable is all positive. Because it's positive, then you can be expert in the word of God. So you bring things old and new, right? In our word, it's old and new. It belongs to the Old Testament and New Testament. Right? And bring forth to the people who needs it. Matthew chapter 13. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the first thing that they have to know with their good heart, they understand it. Then the book of Mark, they accept it. Then the book of Luke, they So our hearts have to be like this. If our hearts cannot be like this, we must continue to work on it. And then let's go to the parable of the wheat and the tares. So any question at all of the parable of the sower before we go to the wheat and tares? Any question? Actually, the main 4 points I want you all to know and to understand are the four grounds. Right, the four grounds. That's so important. So let's go to the parables of the wheat and the tares. Verse 24. Matthew chapter 4, chapter 13, verse 24. Let's read two verses each going this way. Amen. So brothers, start from verse 36 to verse 43, two verses each.
36, then Jesus sent the multitude.
This is the explanation, right, of the parable we just read. Okay? Yes.
36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." 37, he answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man."
38. The field is the word, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. 39. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers the end.
40. Therefore, as the tares are ground, they are consumed in fire, so it will be at the end of the age. 41. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness.
42 and 43. Amen. Praise and thank God. So here is the parable of the wheat and the tares. So the wheat and tares, actually you're talking about the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, what is this parable talking about? Give me a name, please. Nathan. That you, Nathan, yeah, right? So what is this parable talking about? It's talking about the kingdom of heaven, right? Yes. The church, and also what else? Yes, our hearts. This is very important, right? So you talk about the church and also our hearts. So in other words, if your hearts have good ground from the beginning, but if your hearts have the first three grounds from the beginning, then you will be the tares. Why? Because if you cannot understand it, you cannot accept it, you cannot keep it, then there's no way you're going to bear anything at all that's worthy for God. There's nothing. So that's why if parable of the wheat is talking about what? The end days. Right? Because right now, we're still in the process of growing. How can we tell that we are wheat or tares? Right now, how can we tell? Name, please. Daniel. Yes. How can you tell you're wheat or tares? Are you a wheat right now? No. Are you a tear? How can you tell? You don't know. Brother. Help him up. How can you tell? What is that? By your speech, right? Let's go back to the parable, right? Go back to the parable. Chapter 13, verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together tears and bind them and bundle to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So when do we know? When who's the tears? The wheat? Yes, during the time of judgment, right? During the end days. So right now, right? So just like, you know, Brother Sam shared with us this earlier, right? Talking about, yes, even though we are baptized, even though we receive the Holy Spirit, we eat the same spiritual food and drink the same spiritual drink. But many of us will not enter the heavenly kingdom. Even though right now we're in church, maybe no one knows how we live our lives, right? Maybe in church, you know, we are very nice, very polite, and seem like we are very good. But when we go home, right? Because wherever we go, that is our church. Because our hearts must be in the right place. So that's why here it said here that on the end days, let everything grow now. Let the tears and the wheat grow together. Because if we have the first three ground, Satan will be the one that will sow things inside our hearts. If we have the fourth ground, the Son of Man is the one that sown things inside our hearts. And the result, it depends what kind of hearts we have. There's no way that Satan can sow anything if we had the fourth ground. No way. But quite often we switch back and forth, right? Even for me too. Sometimes with the first ground, sometimes with the second, sometimes with the third, sometimes with the fourth. But our goal is to be able to maintain the fourth ground the rest of our lives. Just like we talked about this morning, right? Yes, we all have the right to run the race. But in the process of running a race, make sure we are not disqualified. And when we get disqualified, when Satan sows things inside our hearts, when Satan be able to deceive us, that's when we are disqualified. Even though right now we are already disqualified, but we don't know we disqualify or not. When you run a race, right, when you do something wrong, they're not going to tell you right away until you win. Until when they're going to say you disqualify? Until when? Yeah, when you finish. I remember one time there's a marathon runner, right? And him and his wife run together. There's nothing wrong for him and his wife to run together. But the problem is that she get water on the side and bring to him and drink, right? And that's against the rule. You cannot do that. Why? Because when you are running, it takes a lot of effort, right, to go to the side and get water, right? Right? You guys watch the marathon? Right? So and if you have another person helping you to go and get the water, then you can just continue to run straight, right? Then that person come and give you the water, and then you save so much time, right? Of course, he did not know it was this cause. Thought maybe that's okay, maybe no one noticed. But after the race, actually, I think he won or come second. I don't know exactly. But he was, yeah, he win or he came second or third. But then they told him, you are disqualified because you cannot have another person helping you. Right? Because can you imagine running 26.2 miles? You know how much time you can cut off if someone bring you water to drink while you're running? A lot, right? Even 2-3 minutes, that's make a big difference in running the race, right? So he was disqualified. So for you and I, in the process of running, make sure our standard is in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, then we are disqualified. And sometimes we don't even know it. But we should know it and correct ourselves and ask God for forgiveness. That's why God is so great. God is so great. He be able, even though sometimes we are disqualified, but God still make us qualify by just simply repenting to Him and saying, I'm sorry. But human being, sometimes we are so stubborn, right? When we do something wrong, we don't want to say sorry. We just want to continue on. Just like Adam and Eve, right? When they sin against God. And that time God was walking in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, right? And God called out for them, "Where are you?" You think God did not know where they were? Of course. Why did God say, "Where are you?" What do you think, brother? Why did God say that? Yes. To give them a chance to repent, you understand? To give them a chance. But actually, you read that, the way they repent is not repentance at all, right? They hid from God, right? Then why? Because they were naked. And when God tells them, "Where are you?" And then they just give some lame excuse, right? And on the end, they just blaming one another instead of repenting, right? So that's why here we're talking about the wheat and the tears. Make sure we are not foolish. Think, and yes, we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit, and then out in the gate. It's very far from it. How many of us is like Paul? Paul, right? Even if we are like Paul, Paul is saved. He journeyed to the heavenly kingdom with trembling. With trembling. I think very few of us are like Paul. I'm not like Paul, that's for sure. And he's trembling. How much more you're trembling before God? In the sense that, make sure we're not disqualified. Everything that we do. So that's why here, we will not know until the end days. This is a very scary thing. And then we can see, let's go back to chapter 13, Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man sow good seed in his field." Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? Jesus, right? Again, right, Jesus. This man is Jesus, right? But while man slept, his enemy came. Who is the enemy? Satan, right? Satan. And why did the enemy be able to come and sow tears among the wheat and went his way? And why? Why this enemy, Satan, be able to sow tears among the wheat? Why, brother? I'm sorry? No, why did the enemy be able to sow tears? Yes. Because what? Remember, in the beginning, all the ground, they produce what? Here, right? In the beginning, all the ground produced what? Wheat, yes. Just like for you and I, actually, the day that we are baptized, right? We're just like a garden, right? Full of beautiful things. We're just like all, we are full of wheat. But why we slap? His enemy is so tears. Right? Of course. Remember, the field is what? What they say, the fields in the explanation? The field is the world, right? The field is the world. Actually, but on the end days, when God gathered everything, where does he gather from? Remember, verse 43, right? Actually, verse 41 first, right? The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom, all things that offend. In his kingdoms, all things that offend. Actually, that means, and all things that practice lawlessness. Let's talk about you and I. Yes, you sow the seed in the field in the world, right? But we, the one that have been, saved by God, we're in his kingdom. And then, make sure we do not sleep. This is very important, right? Yes, maybe you can sleep during classes, right? But make sure you sleep in your faith. Because the minute you sleep in your faith, that's when Satan will come and sow tears inside your hearts. This sleeping is not talking about physical sleeping, right? But rather spiritual sleeping. How do we know? Can you give me a name, please? Jessica. Hey, Jessica. We know that we are sleeping. How do we know that we are sleeping? What is the symptom of people sleeping? Do you like to sleep? Yes, huh? You're still young, right? You want to grow, right? So you love to sleep. You take nap during the day? No, right? Okay. You should take naps. You grow more during the day. Oh, for real, right? For real. So sleeping, what does it mean, sleeping? Spiritual sleeping, what's the symptom of spiritual sleeping? Can you guess? Okay, you don't like to read the Bible, right? That's very good, right? When you're sleeping, what do you do in your sleep? Nothing. Right? Maybe you snore and drool, right? But that doesn't count, right? But when you're sleeping, you don't do anything, right? You don't walk, you don't talk, you don't do anything. So now, spiritually speaking, when we are sleeping, we don't read the Bible, right? We don't walk according to the Word of God, right? We don't come to church to pray and have fellowship with one another. This is spiritually sleeping. Really, if Friday night comes and Saturday comes, and you don't want to come to church and have fellowship with brothers and sisters and have fellowship with God, this means you're spiritually sleeping. For me, since I came to Christ 14 years ago, right? Friday night and Saturday, these are the 2 days I look forward the most. You know, when I was working in the world, Friday comes, right? Work, I can't wait for me to go home. Why? To have Bible study with brothers and sisters. Then when I get up in the morning, I can't wait to go to church. Until now, the same thing too. Maybe now it's a little bit different because sometimes as minister, we feel very lonely, right? We see brothers and sisters on Friday night and Saturday, right, most of the time. So we get excited to see brothers and sisters, right? But all of you should feel the same thing. You're coming to Mount Zion, right? The holy city, the holy Jerusalem, the city of the living God. How can you not be excited? How can you not be excited? Only when you're sleeping, you cannot be excited. When people are sleeping, you don't get excited for anything, right? You're sleeping. So remember this, right? But the problem is when you're sleeping, they control you, the Satan. Then he control you to do things that you don't want to do, right? When you're sleeping, right? Any one of you walk sleep at night? Any one of you? That's a disorder, right? You know, there's a disorder of walk sleeping right now, right? So that's why people who have this disorder at nighttime dress in their underwear and stuff, right? Why? Because sometimes they open a door and walk out on the street. No idea what they do, and they just walk out, right? So we are laughing, but spiritually, quite often, Satan is like this. He put us so many times to do things we're not supposed to do. We're just so hypnotized by him, right? We do not know. So don't be asleep, right? Because those who sleep, sleep at nighttime, right? This means they do not understand what's going on. We're just to say that those who sleep, they sleep at night, right? But we are not from the night, right? We're the son of light. We're just to say that. Can anybody find it? You guys know which one I'm talking about, right? Anyone? The New Testament, right? Can you guys find it yet? You guys not allowed to use computer, huh? Guys, I don't see any of you use computer. You find it, Joseph? Where is it? Where do you think it is? Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's see what this one is. Is it the right one? Yes, it's the right passage, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Joseph, can you read from verse 4 to verse 8, please? Amen, right? See, it's very clear, right? Those who sleep, they sleep at night. Those who drunk, those who do evil, they do at night. Now, since I came to know our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Every time evil spirit come to bother me, always at night, except for one time. One time it came during the day. All the other 30, 40 times, always come at night. It's very interesting. Why evil always come at night? Actually, it's a spiritual teaching also, right? You are in darkness. In that darkness, we have no idea what we're doing. Because of this, we can be led by the evil one without knowing it. So when we talk about the tears and the wheat, make sure our heart is in the right place. And don't sleep. The minute we sleep, Satan will come in. So it's not according to God's will. Maybe right now we do not know, right? But on the end days, we all will know. Just like so many people in the world nowadays, right? You know, quite often we think about, seem like the people in the world have so much more fun, right? Right? The way they don't need to worry about this, they don't need to worry about this. Enjoyable, right? They do well in school, they have money, they have, you know, all these things, right? But for us as Christians, we are so boring, right? You cannot do this, you cannot do that, right? I mean, before I came to TJC, when I hang out with my friends, right? We usually, what, go drinking, clubbing, and things like that, right? What do I do now for fun, brother, since I came to TJC? Yes, I usually have fellowship with brothers and sisters, right? We're just reading and praying, right? I mean, when I go to Hawaii, get Monday night, Thursday night, morning, Saturday, it's all Bible study the whole week. And that is the most fun you're going to have. Really, right? And quite often we think, you know, look at all the people in the world, you know, especially, right? Some kids in school, they're so cool, right? And people like them, right? They're so popular among the other kids and stuff like that, right? But all those things are junk, really all junk. I told you I was a prom king, right, in my school, right? And every week my name's always in the newspaper, too, for sports and stuff, right? But what is that to me now? Garbage, nothing. What was the... So that's why, actually, the person you should follow is our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He's the coolest, right? Do you have any friends that walk on water? Brother, you have no friends that walk on water, I'm for sure, right? Okay, you have any friends that feed 10,000 people, right? And resurrect the dead, right? Best friend. He's the coolest of all, right? Really? So everywhere we go, our best friend should be walking beside us. And he's the one to be able to take care of us, right? I remember when I was young, because I was, what, about fifth grade. I was already like 5'7", so I was pretty big. So during time, all the small kids always get, you know, when I was back then, it was pretty racist, right? So any Asian kids can all get picked by the Caucasian, right? The Caucasian. But now it's just the reverse, right? Now just this. So back then, all the little Asian were not too big, right? So they always get picked on all the time. So they used to pay me to protect them, right? At that time, right? Because they all get bullied and stuff like that, but because I was the biggest one, right? So I can protect them, right? So quite often in life, you know, Satan, the biggest bully, right? Satan. But he's nothing compared to Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus said, and he's gone, right? And why do you want to be best friend, right, with anyone else, right? Now, BFF, right? Best friend forever, right? That should belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, really, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ should be your best friend forever. Because he's the only one that's really worthy to be best friend. I'm not saying that you cannot be best friend with one another, right? But make our Lord Jesus Christ your BFF, right? It's very important, right? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Right? Don't sleep. Because the people in the world, actually, they're all like zombies. You know that, right? Because they're all sleeping. So because of this, Satan, the one, is controlling them. Remember in Revelation chapter 12, right? Cast down to, sister, you mentioned it. Earth. Satan was cast down to earth. Actually, in the book of Revelation, it's talking about two different places. Earth and the heavenly kingdom. Are you on earth or in heaven? Yes. No, you're in heaven, sister. You understand? Actually, even though we live on earth, but spiritually speaking, we're in heaven. We're sitting with our Lord Jesus Christ, reigning with him. But the minute if you go down to earth, Satan is your father. So in our world, what's that mean? Our mentality, right? Our hearts. The way we think, the way we do things, it must be like the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means we're in a heavenly kingdom. But the minute we come down to earth, in the sense that, right, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, they belong to Satan. If it belongs to Satan, God has nothing to do with us. So it's very important. So it's Matthew chapter 13. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tears among the wheat and went his way. It's very interesting, right? And went his way. You notice, right? Judas, when Satan entered his heart, he betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. After Satan be able to convince Judas to betray Jesus, then Satan just went his way. He doesn't care about you. His way, in a sense that, look, you are finished. You are finished. Really, quite often, a lot of us go to also this kind of situation, right? Sometimes, actually, know, right? When they come to know Jesus Christ, they really love Jesus so much, right? And they try so hard, right, to do according to his will. But Satan keep, you know, tempting them. So after a while, they fall into temptation. Then after they fall into temptation, after Satan, right, use them to commit sin against God, then Satan just leave them. That's it. Let you be. And that person, right, she becomes so lonely, right? Becomes so depressed. She have no reason in her heart to live anymore. So in our world, we are nothing like this to us when he treat us, right? He's always with us, no matter where we go, right? No matter what we do, he always with us. But Satan, even in the beginning, maybe he will give you things, right? For example, you know, the brother in Hawaii, he could become a professional golfer. But when, you know, golf, you always play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So for him, in the beginning, he said, because he, you know, need to make a living, and he's very good at golf, so he went to play tournaments. But one thing he realized, every time he play, right, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that he always shoot the best score. What do I mean by that? It means he do so well on Saturday. And for him, he doesn't understand it. I'm breaking God's commandment, but I'm still doing so well. What does that mean? What does that mean, sister? You're breaking God's commandment, and still God bless you to do well in what you do. What does that mean? Yes, Satan. You get it right, sister. Not God. You understand? When you break God's commandment, God can never bless you. It contradicts his divine nature, right? But when you break God's commandment, actually, your other father, Satan. Actually, Satan wanted to make him play well, I tell you. Then he realized this, then he quit golf altogether. Really? But this brother, thank God, has great faith, right, to be able to do this. Just like when I first came to know Jesus Christ, right? And the other time I was studying Kung Fu, right? And this other Kung Fu brother, his name is Vincent. And he was doing Kung Fu like 4 or 5 years before me, right? But I was there only like 3 or 4 months. I was better than he was, right? And my form was better than he was. Then this time we feel so discouraged, right? Then when I started to come to TJC, then I encouraged him, well, let's come to church, right? When he came to church for the first time, he said, Rudy, I can't believe it. Thank God, right? I have found the true church of God. And he was so excited that next week he went to, you know, back then I stopped practicing Kung Fu, right? Because I come to know the truth, right? Then when he went back to practice Kung Fu, and he called me up, he said, I cannot believe it. My form is perfect. He said, my form is perfect. And he feels so strong, right? Why do you think he felt like that? Why? For 4 or 5 years, he practiced, he always feels so jumpy, right? After he come to church, he found Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden he went back to practice Kung Fu, and then everything seemed to fall in for him, right? Why do you think that is? Sister, why do you think that is? God was with him. This is just the same question here. Yes, Satan was with him, right? So because now his form is so good, and he feels so good doing Kung Fu, and he's like, oh, Woody, I can't go to church anymore. Because the Kung Fu masters asked me, right, to be the number one, to be the number one student, right? That's what exactly happened. Of course, the Kung Fu master really liked him too, right? Like Vincent, he's a good kid, right? But it's not a coincidence, you understand? So don't think, right, after you get from college, you get a job, and all of a sudden, right, they you to work on Sabbath, and then you get an extra $30,000. Oh, thank God, God, you blessed me. Is that right? No. That is a temptation from Satan. When you break God's commandment, how can you not come to Sabbath and then God bless you? No, when you come to Sabbath, God bless you, right? The day that God sanctified and make it holy, right? It's a blessed day. Then if you don't come to Sabbath, all these good things happen. Actually, Satan just gives you some, right, for you not to come to church anymore, right? 3,000 a year, that's a lot, right? But don't fall in that kind of temptation. Look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan offered him the whole world, the glory of the whole world. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, no way, right? No way. Nowadays, don't be falling Satan's temptation with $30,000 a year, right? And who knows? If you get that job, you don't come to church anymore, then the next time you get fired, get laid off, can be very, you know, pitiful. So that's why Satan also can give us stuff, right? But spiritually, when we're sleeping, actually, Satan, he's the one that manipulates us, right? Tell us to do things that's not according to God's will. But the problem is, if we're sleeping, we cannot know, we don't understand. So that's why it's so important to have fellowship with brothers and sisters. When we have fellowship with one another, when one is asleep and maybe the other one is awake, and then the other one can tell the other one, hey, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Don't do this, don't do that. But if both of you are sleeping, then you'd be in big trouble, right? That's why the church always encourages our pastor to be married, right? It's very important, right? One day, one of you guys want to be a pastor, right? You must pray for your wife. Very important. Your wife is very important, right? Without my wife, there's no way I can be a minister. That is for sure, right? Just like right now, you know, we moved to Dallas, what, like a week ago. And now she's home, right, putting the stove together, putting a dishwasher together, putting the whole house together. I'm here having fun with you guys, right? Really? And then now she got to get a job and pay for the bills, right? Your wife is so important, right? Actually, we need one another, especially for all of you. Right now, you come to IHTS, develop good relationship with one another so you can call, right, to check in with one another. So Satan, even though sometimes one of us is sleeping, the other one is awake, watching, right? Watching is very important. So may God guide you. Make sure you don't fall asleep and let Satan come and sow tears inside your heart. Because when he sowed tears inside our hearts, it's the end of us already. Let's kneel down and pray to conclude all our morning classes. Let's pray together.